here. There we go. Mayada Torkmeni, a mother of six children and a refugee from Syria, was one of the few to be selected to live here in the United States, in Chicago, Illinois. And her story is one of great sadness. Her husband was a shopkeeper and worked, and as he was coming home, he was shot dead, leaving her and her six kids alone. And so she decided, well, it's not safe in this village that they lived in outside of Damascus, so they were going to go take refuge in Damascus to try to disappear into the masses of the city. And so they did, except when they were sleeping one night, a missile came and hit their shelter, tragically injuring one of her daughters. Her life and world at this moment sank into deep and almost complete chaos. So she made the hard decision to flee one more time, to go over the mountains on foot into Lebanon, where they lived in a dusty and smelly UN refugee camp for a year and 7 months before being selected to come to the United States for a new life. Except now, they came in January. Now the new life, though, is still hard. She and her six kids are learning English for the first time, and she still doesn't have a job to pay for rent. The chaos in her life is not over. Mayada represents almost 11 million people who have migrated or have been displaced within Syria, the largest migration of humans in recent human history, whose lives seem to be, like Mayada's, mostly in chaos. Where do we go? What do we eat? Where are we going to stay? What do we cling to? Psalm 46 reads, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. We celebrate today the Reformation, that of Martin Luther and others, and in their unwavering new understanding of refuge and strength within the shelter of God, rather than in human institutions or society. It's with stories like Mayada's, one of real chaos and uncertainty, that I think we, in our own struggles of chaos and uncertainty, seek the questions of how do we take shelter, refuge in our God? How do we cling to God when we have been separated from our home, diagnosed with a threatening disease, had a tragedy in the family, lost a job, lost a friend, suffered from abuse? How do we cling to the shelter of God in chaos? I grew up in a suburban neighborhood just outside of Minneapolis, which ironically was the common stop of most missionaries that stopped in town. So we constantly had knocks at the door wanting conversation. And my father, I remember growing up, if he had time, was eager to have theological discussions, unlike most people who would quietly and appropriately just kind of shut the door. And almost always, to the missionary's surprise, he would step out into the porch of our house and talk about such issues and engage them over topics of mission, of call, of vocation, and of the place of the Holy Spirit. And so as I grew older, I used to kind of run around and sneak open my bedroom window to listen to what they were talking about. And the most common question that he was asked, that I remember, was one that we're probably all very familiar with. Have you chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And my father, always cool and collected, and being a very good Lutheran, would always respond, "Nope. I haven't chosen Jesus at all." But Jesus Christ has chosen and has had faith in me. Most of the time, the person asking the original question wouldn't know really exactly what to do with that answer, and so would take this response and quietly take their exit. But my dad's response has stuck with me deeply, and I think frames our celebration of Reformation Day and our concept of God's shelter. You see, we don't choose to seek God in times of chaos, because God is already there. God, through Jesus Christ, chooses to shelter and to cling to us. Our job is just to accept, just to give thanks for this incredible action, this incredible gift, this incredible love that we don't deserve. So God already choosing to be with us in chaos. Well, okay, that's nicely said, Pastor, up here. But, well, what does that mean in our own lives? You know, a well-known illustration of this fact comes in the story of the man in the flood. And the story goes like this. A man who lived in a house, probably in the floodplains of North Dakota, was sitting in his house, and it began to rain. And it began to rain, it began to rain and rain. And it began to flood. It began to flood the first level of his house, and he got a knock on the door. And it was a firefighter. And the firefighter said, "The flood is coming. I am here to get you out." But the man said, "You know, no, if this truly is a flood that is going to take my life, I am going to wait for Jesus to save me. I'm going to wait for him to come." And so he stayed. Firefighter left, and the flood kept coming. In fact, the waters became so full that they flooded the first level of the house. So he went up into his bedroom and sat on the second level. And a boat, a motorboat, comes by the house and knocks on his window. And the emergency personnel on the boat says, "The waters are continuing to rise. Come with us to safety." But the man was confident. The man said, "You know, if this truly is a flood that threatens my life, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for Jesus to come." And so he stayed. And the flood waters continued to rise so much that he had to get up on the roof now. And there was a helicopter that was flying over the house and lowered a rescue person to him and said, "The flood is continuing to come. Come with us." But the man said, facing the waters, he said, "If this is a flood that truly takes my life, where I will meet Jesus Christ, let him come. I want to meet my Lord and my Savior." And so he stayed. And the floods washed over the house and swept this man away. Of course, then he's in heaven. And he comes to Jesus, who's standing there. And he's a little bit confused. And he says, "Jesus, you know, I was waiting for you to come. Where were you?" But Jesus said, "I did come. I came in the fireman who knocked on your door. I came in the boat of emergency personnel out your window. I came in the helicopter to get you off the roof. I came in all of those things, but you didn't see it." God's gift of shelter to us in times of chaos is probably not what we expect. Probably not. In fact, I guarantee you it's probably not what we expect. God's gift may be something completely out of the ordinary. And it will probably challenge and change you for forever. But it's still a gift. It's still a reminder that God never leaves us. Emmanuel, God with us. God never leaves us, no matter how high those waters come. Verse 10 in our psalm reads, "Be still and know that I am God." To know, the Hebrew word is yada. And it's not really to know God as in intellectually, to acknowledge like a belief. Really, what this Hebrew word means is to embody, to internalize, to know that God is God. Another way of reading this passage is be still and embody the fact that I am God. This is what we do when we realize that God has and always will be here with us. This is what we do when we accept the surprising gift of God that is always being given to us. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to have the brave young people here from Teen Challenge Missoula here in worship with us today. You know, and I hope that all of you can stay here to hear of their stories of what Teen Challenge does. And you know, even without hearing any of their stories yet, I know that these women are not simply here to tell us of God's gift of shelter in times of chaos. They're not simply here to do that. They are here because they embody that fact. They live it. They live it for us today. And it is within this embodying of God's gift to us that we are freed. That we are freed not only to say, like my dad said, "Jesus chose me," but freed and confident like Teen Challenge Missoula to go out and to serve the neighbor, to come here with us and to be with us, to show us God's love. For we are embraced. We are loved. We are nurtured within the gift of God's grace. Let's show and tell others that the gift is most of the time right in front of them. This is the call of the Reformation. To know God's refuge is always here with us. To embody it for others to see. For God is with us. God's shelter covers us. God's love embraces us. And most importantly, God, through Jesus Christ, will never give up on us. Ever. May we all embody and know this to be true. Amen.